would like to direct your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 23, if you will, for a little while. This is a preparatory message for the wedding tonight. We are going to take two halves and put them together tonight, make one. And every time that we have a wedding, it reminds us of that great wedding beyond the skies. That great wedding of Jesus Christ and His bride. God has put His stamp of approval upon weddings, and as with so many, many, many things in the Old Testament, He has used it as a shadow of a substance. He has used it as a type of an anti-type. He has used it as a figure to point towards that which is greater. Now, I'm sure it's a great thrill tonight for Rick to take Patty as his wife. And I'm sure it's a great thrill for her to have Rick take her as her husband. And I'm sure they won't mind me saying, however, that was that as wonderful as a human wedding can be. And it can be something long sought for and looked after, dreamt of, and anticipated. It can be something of great joy and delight. But we'll all have to admit that none of us are completely matured and perfected. We are living in bodies of flesh, and there are misunderstandings and difficulties in the flesh. Love will conquer them all, but they are nonetheless, even as smoke goeth upward, so man is born into trouble. And the troubles don't all go away when you get married. But if we can be so delighted and so happy to be married to our husbands and our wives upon this earth and to get married, what's it going to be like to be joined with the perfect one, Jesus Christ? Whom having not seen, yet ye love, it says in the book of Peter. But if we can love him which we have never seen, and only have an earnest or a foretaste of the inheritance of his spirit, just a little bag of the great field to possess, what's it going to be like when this mortality takes on immortality? And when this corruption takes on incorruption, and when we are changed into his image, and flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but there, having Satan bound, no temptation, shall know and see him face to face and know even as we are known, and have the rest of the inheritance, what's it going to be like with that capacity to get to really know him who is the King of Glory? When men have had baptisms of the Holy Ghost that have been so fantastic that they've had to ask the Lord to stay their hand, his hand, because they could bear no more they felt like in the natural body. When God enlarges our capacity about a thousandfold, and we are walking continually in that spirit, it's going to be something, my brother, something to behold. It has not yet entered into the heart of man, but God has prepared for them that love him. And so we have, again, a picture of that great union, that great marriage, that great collecting together of God and his bride. That is the very reason why God made the universe and all that is within it, and why he made man. He made man for the very same reason that you have children, to love and to love you. And so God, taking these that have alienated themselves from the commonwealth of God, who have rebelled against him, and so that he which is holy and pure has had to turn his back upon man and has been working every since to bring him back in and restore both the image and the likeness to God, and to reconcile the differences, to acquit him of his sins, and to begin to experientially mold him and shape him and make him into the likeness of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, that we might be joined again into him. He has given us this word of reconciliation. He has given us this textbook that tells us what our relationship is between us and him, and his plan for us and our responsibilities and how we are to attain. And he's filled our life with multitudes of figures, types of the greater truths that we might keep them ever in front of our minds. I want to read to you a story this evening, one of the most beautiful stories in all the Bible, if you understand the story. If you only understand it in its natural setting, it's not really that great. Although Isaac and Abraham thought so, and Rebecca did. But if you understand the spiritual application, and you are born again, and you are becoming that bride without spot or wrinkle, or being changed from glory to glory, and this is your hope, and this is your anticipation, it is a beautiful, beautiful story indeed. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 24. Now Abraham, which represents God, which means the father of a great multitude, because God is a father, is our father, our heavenly father. He's the father of a great multitude. And he has many sons. And Abraham, in verse 2, said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwelt, but thou shalt go into my country and into my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now Abraham, in his latter years, said unto his servant, and he had a servant, Eliezer, that he put his trust in, made him his right-hand man, gave him his signet ring, put him in charge and in trust over all that he had. He was his treasurer. He was his bookkeeper. He was the one, his governor. He was the one who decided how things would run, because Abraham didn't want to be bothered by all the administrative details, because he would oversee Eliezer, of course. He was his servant. He lived only for Abraham. His whole purpose was not to fulfill the life of Eliezer. His whole purpose was to be a servant, which means to have his will swallowed up in the will of Abraham, his master. But because Abraham was rich, and because Abraham gave him such latitude and blessed him with all that he had and put him over all that he had, he therefore was greatly blessed indeed, and everything he did for Abraham was coming back upon him. Every gain for Abraham just meant more for himself as well. Now, Eliezer is a type of the spirit-filled minister who God charges with going out and getting a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. And our whole life is not to build ourselves up and self-aggrandizement, but to build up the kingdom of God and just be a servant to him. But all that we do for him just comes back on ourselves. And our God is rich, and he blesses us with all spiritual blessings. And so it's a blessing to be a servant of the Almighty God. Now, he took the most solemn covenant that could be made with God. And having done so, God said, I want you to get a bride for my son. Now, Isaac had already grown into manhood, had passed the age of 33 and a half, if you know what I'm getting at. Isaac had already gone up to Mount Moriah and been offered there as a sacrifice, as God's only begotten son, but came back alive to show that he came back alive from the dead. So this now, in typological picture, is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God says, now go out and get a bride. It's when Abraham was old. Now, God doesn't get old, but in the natural picture of the greater, he's saying, flew down at the end of time. Long after Isaac was already grown and been offered up unto God in Abraham's own heart. Now he said, I do not want you to get a bride for my son from among the Canaanites in this land of Canaan or Palestine where we are dwelling. Now the word Canaanite means merchant. And they were merchants. I don't want you to get a bride from this materialistic merchant world where everybody is trying to live by the profit curve and tear down the bones and build greater. But I want you to go back to my land and for my people, get a bride for my son. Now he did not send forth Isaac to get his own son. Jesus is not walking upon this earth to find his own bride. But rather, God has sent us to get a bride for him. Isaac, of course, was the only son, and it was a son born miraculously, since that Abraham and Sarah were both past age, even as Jesus was born miraculously. And the servant said unto him, verse 5, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware, thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and which sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thy oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore unto him concerning that matter. In other words, God was saying, you are not going to destroy the typological picture of Jesus Christ and the bride. We want the doctrine straight. We want people to understand. Everything in the Word must conform to the same doctrine. So there will be no confusion. People can try to prove something different by this passage or by that passage. See, they lived out their whole lives to show forth the truth. What we in the end of the age are experiencing. What a wonderful privilege to live in this age. Now, he said this, you go into my land, but what was his land? Mesopotamia. But what was Mesopotamia? Babylonia. Babylon. But in Babylon, there were a people that were the people of Abraham. In Babylon, there were the Hebrews. Take a people, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon, my people, the scripture has said. Take a bride out of Babylon. Don't take a Babylonian. Take one of my people out of Babylon. My sons. Those are that of me. Now, but he says, if the bride says no, well then you don't have to try to drag her into the kingdom. You don't have to convert her. You only have to ask. You only have to explain how rich I am and how wonderful Isaac is. He's my son. And ask her, she'll come. And if she won't, shake the dust off against that city and go into another. You don't have to convert her. All you have to do is ask her, she'll make her own decision. We can't convert a soul. Only God can convert a soul. But Jesus Christ is not going to come back to get his bride. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are to go to the mansions he's prepared for us. We're laying our treasure up on the other side, not downhill, so when he comes downhill, he will receive it. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. That's something, isn't it? All the goods of our master's in our hands. Greater things than these sure ye do, because I go to my Father. He's put it in our hands. It's fantastic.
Baker.
Shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Shall cast out demons. And these things have been done many, 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 many times. Hundreds of times. Thousands
Baker.
Of times. Right in this very assembly. God has given us His power. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
I'm going to shove
your
teeth down your mouth.
Sword.
Don't give me a break.
God has put in our own hands. Jack, you want to look into that? And he arose and went into Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. You know, what difference does it make whether it's the city of Nahor? Who cares what town it came from? Why is the Holy Ghost worrying about what town he came from? Because Nahor means snoring, sleeping. In the last days, the bride, the virgins, the wise virgins, I meant to say the virgins, the wise and the unwise virgins shall be sleeping, slumbering and sleeping, begin to drop off. And that's where he went to get his bride, in the place of sleeping and of snoring. Interesting, huh? Now, if all of this is not a type and we're off on some branch of wild imagination, this is the most wildest and fantastic coincidence I ever saw in my whole life. And then when you take every one of them and they all fit perfectly, brother, this is a book to behold. This isn't some bunch of wandering Jews trying to put down their history. This is something a lot more than that. People who make those kind of statements are ignorant indeed, knowing nothing about the book that they're talking about. This book is such a fantastic book. It's so fantastic. Only those ignorant of it can ever make such a statement. I could take 3 hours and talk to you about that tonight, but I won't. I spare you. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. Now, he came and made his camels to draw down in the evening. This is the evening time. The midnight hour is coming. The night cometh when no man can work. We must be busy about our master's business. And the evening time it shall be light. Praise God. That's the time that the women go out to draw water in the evening after the heat of the day. Now, a woman in biblical typology represents, as you know, the church. And the water, of course, is that water that Jesus has promised, that water of life. And in the very evening, the church goes out to draw water. In the very evening. Looking at verse 15. Don't have time to read every verse tonight. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came. Now, Rebekah means to ensnare by her beauty. That's what the Shulamite did in the Song of Solomon. He said, turn from me, so thy eye hath taken me. See? Just her eyes, her big dove's eyes, he called them. He said, thou hast taken me with one of thine eyes. He could hardly say that thou hast ravished my heart, my love. Rebekah came out, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. You know, so everything's hitting right down the line. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well. She filled her pitcher. She didn't get it half full. She filled it, brim full. And she came up. You have to go down before you can come up. You have to go down to get the water. And you can come up with it after you got it. Praise God. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. She recognized him as a master to her. You see, she became his servant. She put herself under him because he was a spirit-filled minister, you see, sent by the Lord. And she hasted. She hasted. You know what that means? That means she didn't walk this way. I'm coming, coming. I hear ya. Legalism, you know. Yeah, I've got to work all the time. I'll follow the government if I have to. She hasted. She ran. She was excited. And she let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. She was excited to give him drink. She was excited to bless him, to minister to him, to be a blessing. She didn't say, oh, you give me, I just want to get. But she was willing to give unto her own minister, so to speak, to minister to God's man of the hour, and not just be ministered unto all the time. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. In other words, she ministered to the necessities, to his necessities, and to his helpers. They were his helpers. They helped carry the load until they have done drinking. Verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. That's pretty heavy. Now here, he took out of his camel's bag two big bracelets of gold and earrings of gold. Now that attaching to the ears, gold in biblical typology represents deity, God. So he put God into her ears that she might heal, into her hands that she might minister. Now it wasn't a contract. It wasn't, now if you will go, and if you will be Isaac's bride, he didn't even tell her about that yet. He just gave her gifts from a land she's never been before. Gifts. You didn't have to earn it. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, and he said, "To let them take you in and lodge in their house. Let them furnish for you." And she told him yes, and so in verse 28, the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. While he was getting his camels to come out, she couldn't wait. She was a typical, if you'll let me say it, female. She could not go up with him. She was so excited. She ran first. She ran ahead of him, ran into the house, and said, and you could just tell she was bouncing. And she told her. And of course, she had these rings rattling, these rings rattling on her wrist, and she had this earring. And in verse 33, you're going to have to go home now and read in between, aren't you? And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. In other words, my ministry comes first. My first thing is not to eat. I'm not going to eat first and put that first. And then my ministry follows. My ministry comes first, and then my provision comes second. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. He is saying, though my Lord is rich, he's got everything. That's the way we go. So you're always bragging about God. Well, that's right. He owns the cattle on the 1,000 hills, all that are his, the world and the fullness thereof. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. When she was old. In other words, after Israel was several thousand years old, clear down in what we call about 4 to 6 B.C., after Israel was old, a maiden of Israel brought forth the Christ child. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. He's given everything unto his son. All that he hath unto his son. Heir of all things. Well, we're going to skip clear down to verse 49. Now as they talked in the tent and so forth, Eliezer said, and now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I might turn to the right hand or the left. You going to give your daughter or not? Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak to thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. let her speak for herself. We recognize, they have recognized that this came from the Lord. And in verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and he gave them to Rebekah. Now, he begins giving her more gifts. She didn't get all the gifts at once. And now she gets many more gifts. Silver is of redemption, and the jewels of gold, raiment, his own righteousness. She begins to be clothed with righteousness. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. He didn't only give to that which was going to be the bride of Christ, but he gave even to those that were not the bride. But of course, he gave the most to Rebekah. Verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. In other words, they said, well, don't let her go right now in the rapture. We didn't believe in the rapture anyway. Let her stay around a while, at least 10 days. 10 is the number of the world. And there's 10 nations in the last days we give their power to the beast for that one whole season. And as he said to the Smyrnaites, thou shalt have tribulation 10 days, you see. And so it's the number of the world. Let her stay out here and finish off the world system. Put on to the end of the age. And he said, don't you hinder me. He said, send me away to my master. Now, this is the minister saying this. Not only get your wife, but he said, I want to go to be with my master. Don't you sort of hinder me by taking this rapture away from me. I'm going up. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her mouth. We would like her to stick around and not just move out into your circle right away. But we'll have to, it'll be her decision. And they called her back and said to her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. But you've never seen him. I will go. I've never seen him. But oh, how I've heard of the greatness of Abraham. And if Abraham is like that, his son must be wonderful. What a wonderful prince. She was willing by faith. By the eye of faith, she had anticipation. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. They sent her away. She had made the decision. The tie was broken between her and her mother's religion. And she was sent away. She was going to be the bride of Isaac. Verse 63. And Isaac went out. We can't quit before the wedding. You have to finish this. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. In the field. Isaac went out in the field. Now, you know what the field is? That's the church, the whole harvest field. At the evening time. Close to the end of the evening. The evening time. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off of the camel. Which means that not only was she excited, looking and hastening for that day, but when she jumped off of the camel, she lit on a new land. She broke the last tie of the old country, and she lit in a new land. For she had said unto his servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant hath said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil, and she covered herself. Now, she wasn't a liberal. She didn't say, pleased to meet you, kid, you know. But she recognized that she dared not go into his presence as the son of Abraham, just face to face as though I have a right, you know, to come right up, you know, bold, but I feel unworthy. Although she had come to a place of beauty and maturity, she covered herself decorously, took her place of submission before him, and would come bow before him as she would. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Maybe we're going to get a chance to testify up there, you think? And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent, into the church, into
Jerusalem, which is above, the mother of us all. And he took Rebekah. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. After the end of the visible church that did not get caught up to meet him and was martyred, he was comforted having a bride after the end of his mother's church. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I will go.